to Wednesday of Grey Cup 112. Jamie and Locker live from Winnipeg. Media Day was, it's just wrapping up right now as we speak. Our Green Zone Rider reporter, Britton Gray, will have more from Media Day a little bit later on. Of course, that is when everybody sits in their little cubicles and politely answers 5,000 questions from different media.
Pretty cool setup.
It's, this year they changed it up. This is the first year they had the teams going at the same time.
Okay.
Usually it's a bunch of players from the team and then a different group from the same team. And then there's like a lunch break and then they bring in the other team.
No Donnybrooks?
No.
Okay.
I can't remember if they even, anybody even gave pleasantries to each other. I don't know how much back and forth there was.
To paint a picture, they're also separated by curtains, and it's a big hall. And so you've got each one kind of in a little bit of a fishbowl, and then all the media sort of gathers around. How were the media in separating the conversations, like the interviews? Was everyone pretty good?
I was only doing one-on-one, so I have no idea how all the other interviews went. In those scrums, like Britton was in all the scrums with the head coach and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Throughout the week, of course, we'll bring you, my conversation. I had a great conversation with Jeremy O'Day, head coach Corey Mace, Trevor Harris, couple of members of the Montreal Alouettes as well. So it is great to just sit down and chat without at a podium with
it's a
20
good idea.
Guys, just one question, and they all have different agendas. You're just sitting there one-on-one. So it was media day today. The Riders' first practice goes within an hour. They will be on the practice field at Princess Auto Stadium.
That's where Britton is right now.
So he will bring us up to date on Rider practice when they get their first one going. Davis Alexander, of course, continues to be the story of Grey Cup 112. Each and every day, we begin the Green Zone with the starting lineup, the top sports headlines. And yes, Davis Alexander was practicing, although with media today, he was describing Locker. I was eavesdropping on one of the interviews, describing his treatment. He's got laser treatment. He's got stem treatment. He's got heat.
Other stem cells.
It's like, wow.
Yeah.
And this guy's going to play on Sunday? Like, I'm thoroughly intrigued on the description of everything that they are going through. And he's getting 4 to 5. He had a treatment in the middle of practice today. He left practice to go get some of his treatment done and then went back out for the rest of practice. So it's during practice he's even getting treatment for his hamstring injury.
So he wasn't out with us last night drinking?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
No. I don't know if that's in the...
Probably a good call.
Does that loosen him up? Loosen up that hammy?
A little bit of whiskey?
Who knows?
Come on,
but,
Davis.
Yeah, Davis Alexander. Although I walk up to him like, you've had enough of the hamstring conversation.
He was like, thank you.
Yeah. I had a much more in-depth and a little bit emotional conversation as it was actually a game against the Rough Riders. It was the last game he played before his father's death.
I didn't know that.
I was at Mosaic Stadium. And he visited his father. He went through the story on that week of emotion and pretty much flying back up to Canada, dropping into Regina to play a football game and going home again. So
yeah.
I had a conversation with Davis Alexander and what a championship would mean to he and his family. As well. And of course, talk to Trevor Harris. He didn't want to tell me that he's going to retire if he wins the Grey Cup. That wasn't
on
his agenda at all. I knew what the answer was going to be,
yeah.
But those are the times where you just get body language and, what's going on? What's going through your head? and they seem to get it. But, yeah, Dante Meyers, Sam Emilis, Britton Gray talked to a lot of players as well today. So a lot more from Grey Cup Media Day today throughout the week and weekend as we get you set for the 112th Grey Cup. Reminder, our programming, we are live from Winnipeg yesterday, today, and through the weekend all the way to the Green Zone postgame show after the game on Sunday.
We got a bonus Green Zone for you on Saturday as well from 2 till 5. And then obviously the Green Zone coverage of the Grey Cup with Jamie, Darrell, and Belton on Sunday. We'll move over to the NHL. The Jets and a three-game losing streak.
Morrissey to the crease, tipped in. Now a shot, they score. Morrissey's tied it up at 2. Josh Morrissey to Connor again. Puts one in front, backhander. Vilardi scores.
Josh Morrissey, 3 points last night, a goal and 2 assists. He looked good. Taves adding a goal. Hellebuck with the win. I think he had 32 saves. It was about 30 anyway. Demko had to leave the game at the end of the first, undisclosed injury. So we'll keep an eye on that. Your Vancouver Canucks, they need Demko. And I think he's a lemon.
Yep.
Jamie, he's a lemon.
Unfortunately, that his lower body is just,
yeah.
I don't know if it's ever going to be 100%. That's why they
great goalie.
That's why they signed Kevin Lankinen into a $5 million per year deal when it comes to the Vancouver Canucks. Meanwhile, the Toronto Maple Leafs last night, they've given up 5 goals in their last 3 games.
Matthews back to the ice by Zadorov. Zadorov with the puck. Here comes Matthews, returns the favor.
Matthews was actually injured after a hit from behind from Zadorov. It didn't go over very well.
I think it's a penalty personally, but I'm not the referee. I don't like it. I don't like the hit. It's a ball in a position.
Chief wasn't happy.
Yeah, the Bruins beat the Leafs 5-3.
It was a hit from behind.
Night.
It was a clear hit from behind. I can't believe it wasn't a penalty.
And Zadorov is not a
And I'm not a Leafs fan. No. Did you see Domi try to fight him?
Yeah, that's a weight class. My goodness. That's like 4 weight classes above my Max Domi.
To his
credit, his father, like, you know, he learns from the best. His Ty Domi punched way above his weight in his career in the National
Probert, those Probert fights were, like, Probert stood 6 inches above the old man.
Doesn't matter.
Domi. Yeah, anyway. Are we moving on?
Yes, indeed.
Let's do majors. John Schneider ends up as the runner-up for the AL Manager of the Year.
Every single one of you, bullpen game, Nathan Lucas, Miles Straw, all you takes everybody every day, start spreading the news.
Schneider finished just behind Cleveland's Stephen Volz, Stephen Volz in the American League Manager of the Year voting by the Baseball Hall of Fame writers. Here's the thing. It's put in before the postseason. So everyone looking at this goes, and I read that this morning because I said the same thing. I was on with Shaq this morning on CKOM, and I'm like, it's ridiculous that he didn't win. But I didn't know that they had to put the votes in before. Anybody watched that World Series would have made John Schneider.
But even the regular season.
Yeah, they were first to last, or from last to first, I should say, right? Anyway. And the Blue Jays, they haven't won a Manager of the Year since 1985. I do think, though, that the writers do tend to vote against Toronto. It's not an American team. There probably is a little bit of bias that way.
Like how? I don't get it.
The Guardians were a great team. They had another amazing year, second straight year for Vaught in that on the National League side. You had the Brewers skipper Pat Murphy. He is back-to-back winners as well. And again, it is worth pointing out that they didn't get a chance to see the World Series and see what John did for that team.
Even the regular season. Even in the regular season, just based on his regular season, being the number one seed for the Toronto Blue Jays.
He came second.
He should have been first. He should have been the manager.
I agree.
Awful. Awful. Although, you know, baseball writers sometimes baffle me with their Probably had a better war or something stupid. All right, let's go to the National Football League, a new starting quarterback for the Giants.
Winston, play fake, and he's got a touchdown to Gunnar Olszewski.
Yeah, the new coach, of course, Brian Daboll, got fired. Jameis Winston is the new starting quarterback for the New York Football Giants. So, ladies and gentlemen, here's your knowledge of what you need to know for the New York Giants fans. Is he will throw for 350 yards a game and throw for 2 touchdowns and 3 interceptions. That will probably be the stat line every time Jameis Winston plays football. He's a gunslinger. He throws picks. He throws touchdowns. And I guess they decide he's better than Russell Wilson. Jackson Dart, of course, going through concussion protocol. A lot more coming up here on the Green Zone. Dave Naylor's going to join us. We're also going to talk some hockey when it comes to Jamie Thomas as well. Britton Gray with the latest on Rider practice, plus some of my one-on-one interviews from Media Day with the Saskatchewan Rough Riders and Montreal Alouettes. That's all directly ahead here on the Green Zone, live from Winnipeg on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Tinian Locker with you live from Winnipeg, Manitoba. We've sent Locker on the loose this week. All today weekend. Was, I can't wait until tomorrow. I can't wait until tomorrow. When the party's open.
Okay.
You are going to have some great content.
Today what I did, and I gotta thank whoever brought the weather, because it is
it's fantastic.
It is unbelievable. I had a toque and a thin jacket on, no mitts. I was wandering around the streets of Winnipeg for about 2 hours. The conversation that I had today with Winnipeggers was, who are you cheering for? So watch for a video.
I should be able to go.
It was interesting. And I got to be honest, I'm surprised, Jamie. You know what? I'm not going to say. I didn't use all the video in the video that I'm going to release, but it was quite surprising to me the response that I got back. If I'm being honest, I think you'll be surprised as well.
Really?
Because we thought that it was going to be, like, hands down, everyone's just going to be cheering for Montreal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, Winnipeggers are cheering for the. I'm baffled by that.
It was split. I'll say it. Watch the video. It was split.
You must have found some Saskatchewan. I probably talked to out there.
No. I did a little pre-interviews before, and I'm like, "Are you a Winnipegger?" And everybody that I recorded was a Winnipegger. I probably talked to 40 people today, and I'd say it was split down the middle. And I even, if we went back and actually did actual math on this thing, it might even lean a little more Rough Riders.
We'll see. Locker on the loose. Look for it on our social media channels. I've been, Locker's been editing away here.
I'm not very good with the whole editing.
No, you're doing great. You're doing better than I would. That's for sure.
Yeah. So anyway, I got four thumbs.
That works. But it's a Grey Cup week. The Riders practice will start in about a half an hour at Princess Auto Stadium. It was fascinating, the video last night of the CFL employee who paints the field, painting the Rider logo on the end zone in Winnipeg. Oh,
did that go viral?
Rider Nation loved every second. Of seeing that Saskatchewan
short straw
in the end zone. Is he?
Did he mess with it?
No. It's the CFL guy.
There's
the CFL.
I wouldn't trust a Winnipegger to do that.
Yeah, put it upside down. and people are like, an upside down S is the same as a. I'm like, no, it's the logo. Look, tip the logo up. There's differences when it's upside down. I've seen plenty of upside down Rider logos in my time because you have to look close, but it's there.
That's funny.
Anyways, great googly moogly. But, yeah, the Rider S is now on the field at Princess Auto Stadium, ready for Rider practice. That it's going to get going.
Oh, we got to get Britton to take a picture of that. Send him a note. He's at practice right now.
So he's on his way to practice right now. Media Day just wrapped up like 20 minutes ago, so – we'll get Britton on that one. as the Riders are 5 days away from a kickoff. As we continue here on the Green Zone, live from Winnipeg, as we get to the one-minute drill. The latest in sports, the Edmonton Oilers will look to string together a second straight win. They visit Philadelphia tonight in the National Hockey League. Of course, it's a seven-game road trip for the Edmonton Oilers.
Bench Bouchard.
Why?
Again.
What's the matter?
Just keep benching him.
Seems fine. And Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and the Oklahoma City Thunder play host to Luka Doncic and the L.A. Lakers. Of course, yesterday, Doncic's former general manager got fired. Coming up here on the Green Zone, more highlights from Media Day with the Rough Riders and the Alouettes. Dave Naylor, our CFL insider, is going to be here. Lots of rumors going around about the Toronto Argonauts head coaching job and some other names popping out that could be of interest if the Argos don't get their man in Mike O'Shea, the current head coach of the Bombers. Let's talk a little bit about the group we were with last night. We were with a lot of Bomber fans last night. They seem nervous about the future.
We had a lot of heavy hitters last night that we were hanging out with.
Future of the Bombers in question. They're kind of nervous what Mike O'Shea is going to decide. This is 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Dynamite with a laser beam. Guaranteed to blow your mind.
Recommended at the cruise. Insatiable. Jamie Locker, live from Winnipeg. It is the 112th Grey Cup.
So Wednesday night, slowly people start trickling in. Planes land because tomorrow night, Locker, I know you've been to Grey Cups and the team parties and stuff, but tomorrow night, here we go. It's the awards.
Yeah.
Team parties open up. Then the street festival
gets
going. There's
people here already.
Oh, absolutely, there are.
When I was wandering around with Locker on the loose, and I saw some gear. I saw some CFL gear from other teams other than Saskatchewan and Montreal. So they're showing up.
Yeah.
People take the week off, right?
They come in. So team parties. Somebody's already texted. Are you guys going to Spirit of Edmonton breakfast? I'm not sure. I think is that Saturday morning. Those are walkthrough days.
It's always
Locker might go.
This group is questionable on breakfasts.
Yeah,
I found out that this morning when I was
Locker's downstairs having breakfast by himself. I wake up to three texts of his food. Yeah.
Oh, we had free breakfast this morning and it was solid. So I was very excited. So I was sending you guys pictures.
So yes, tonight is. Each year the festival, the Grey Cup committee throws in it like a welcome to Grey Cup party for outside media. Then the team parties get going tomorrow. Ryderville, I can't wait for Ryderville. I need to talk to someone from the festival a little bit because we're hearing, Locker, that of course the party pass is sold out, but there's a little bit of concern that they might have underestimated the total number of tickets they should have sold. I'm hoping everybody gets into Ryderville who wants to, but I know there's some confusion over getting into Ryderville and all those things with the party
passes.
I've got
an idea. I can fix this problem right now. Take the Winnipeg Blue Bombers room and move the Riders into that room because it was probably the bigger room.
Oh, the Winnipeg has the, yeah.
Just
touchdown Manitoba is how that what it's called.
Switch the rooms.
And we'll see. Yeah, I'm not sure Winnipeg will be up for that, but they probably should be. Anyways, let's get to Britton Gray, all or nothing. He is giving us features throughout the week leading up till game time. He is grinding right now. It's been, of course, a long 12 years, but the Riders are back in the Gray Cup. They've arrived. Preparations begin. But, of course, it's all about going 1-0 each week for the Green and White. This is a team that believes in itself as they start the week. And here is Green Zone Rider reporter Britton Gray.
For the first time in over a decade, Saskatchewan will get to see the Riders in the final game of the CFL season. While the main event is on Sunday, it's a busy week for the team ahead of the clash with the Montreal Alouettes. That started as a crowd of Rider fans sent the team off from Mosaic Stadium on Monday. Head coach Corey May says that's the response they got is expected from the fans.
Even when you expect it, you know, it's special, man. Our fan base, you know, I've been in a few places around the league. This one's top notch. So, you know, for us as a team, our guys since training camp, you know, we want to put together a team that represents the province and how that province works. And for them to come and show up, you know, I'm sure they had other things to do. But to send us off like that, it was special, and our guys appreciate that.
Defensive back Tavon Campbell believed this team knew from day one they could reach this point.
Just got a bunch of dogs on the team who don't just, you know, don't just have that bark in them. They got that bite. So it just, you could see it all come together from day one, from the first game until the last. And, you know, it's just, it's something that made this Grey Cup team a Grey Cup team.
And despite this being the first time this group has gone to the Grey Cup together, there is a confidence amongst the group heading into the week. Quarterback Trevor Harris believes that comes from themselves.
We've got iron sharpened on iron every week. And when we have that and you truly have that true competition where you've got, you know, guys really, really competing, but at the end of the day, we're hugging each other when we come off the field. It's been pretty awesome. And that starts at the top with our, you know, with our president, GMs, Larry Dean, you know, Kyle Carson, J.O., our head coach, our coordinators, our leaders, our unit leaders on offense and defense. And I can really feel that this group loves one another. And, yeah, hopefully we can just go finish the job this Sunday.
And not that this group needed another reason to try and win the big game. May says they did talk about the fact that the Grey Cup was being played in Winnipeg and at the home of their rival Blue Bombers this season.
We're grateful to be here in this game, you know, wherever it was, honestly. Now, what's really cool, and I think about the location of this, is how close it is for our fan base to get here. So looking forward to that. You know, that's what I think is really cool about the location of this above anything else, is just for Rider Nation to be able to get here.
At Princess Auto Stadium in Winnipeg, I'm Britton Gray.
That is Green Zone Rider Britton Gray, Rider reporter Britton Gray, with his all or nothing for today, as he continues to bring us features all week long with the Green Zone from Grey Cup. We have a lot more coming up. Of course, Dave Naylor is going to be here, our CFL insider. Of course, we're going to talk a little hockey with Jamie Thomas. He's playing host to us this week because he's in Winnipeg, but his Jets are on the road because everything's taking over. But we'll talk about the Jets' big win and how they're looking at this point in the season.
Ended a three-game losing streak last night.
Britton Gray from Rider Practice, and well, as well as a double take with Double D, Daryl Davis, plus highlights from Media Day on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to the Green Zone. We are live from Winnipeg for Grey Cup 112. It was media day today. Locker was on the loose in Winnipeg, Manitoba, gallivanting around trying to drum up Rider support from Winnipeggers.
I had limited success.
So bitter. I was able to chat with a few of the stars getting ready for Grey Cup 112. And one of those, of course, is the quarterback of the Montreal Alouettes, Davis Alexander. Now, I know a lot of you, there is the hamstring injury. I'll bring you up to date. He did practice. He's getting a numerous amount of treatments. That story hasn't changed. But a story I did want to discuss was not this year, but last year, as Davis Alexander is rising to stardom, two of his biggest games came against the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, of course, during a terrible time in his life as his father was battling cancer.
Going up against the Rough Riders has meant something in your career. You know, coming in at halftime, I'll never forget that emotional game in Regina with your family there. When you reflect on those moments, now you're going up against the Riders in a Grey Cup. What do those previous two mean to you as where you are in your career and your life?
Yeah, I mean, excuse me. Yeah, obviously the first one with coming in down 16-3 and kind of being a spark for our team and kind of, you know, sparking my career, if you want to say it like that. That was an incredible moment that I'll never forget. And then the one in Regina, you know, super, super hostile environment. I didn't practice all week. You know, I was dealing with all that stuff going on with my dad right before he passed away. I mean, that was one of the craziest games, craziest emotions. You know, I probably slept 3 hours prior to getting to Regina the whole week. I didn't eat much. My emotions were everywhere, but and that, you know, obviously the foot and bounds play, the play that people don't want to ever not talk about, but. Just, yeah, that game meant everything to me, just, you know, with my dad in the hospital, you know, struggling a little bit, but my family was there with him watching, and he was able to pick up a little bit on the game. So, yeah, definitely pretty couple incredible games there.
Your dad passes. Mm-hmm. Like, one of the final games, really, that he can witness. Like, what does that moment mean? And now that you're here. You're a step away from a championship.
Yeah, he wasn't really able to watch that game necessarily. He was more so like listening. But you know, from what my family was saying, you know, you could tell that there was still emotion in him, and you know, he knew what was going on. It means everything to me. I mean, this is, you know, he's, you know, one of my biggest supporters in life, if not the biggest. You know, he always believed in me, maybe when things were even tough and hard. He always believed that I was the best in the world. That's what he would tell me. But he also demanded the best out of me every single day. You know, I'm so thankful for him and his impact, and I know he would be so proud now. And I know, you know, he'll be with us all on Sunday. It's going to be a beautiful thing, and I love him. I miss him, and yeah, it's easy to play for.
Does that still drive you? His voice in your head and stuff?
Yeah, it'll be that way forever. The lasting impact that he had on me, the impact he had on the way I work and my mentality. And, you know, my dad played professional rugby. He was a stud. He played with passion. You know, he said that a lot of people when he played didn't like him. Which is, you know, is what it is. I think people are starting to not like me, and that's okay. I know my teammates love me. I know my city loves me. But off the field, I'm a really nice guy. So that's all I can say.
Is that with the hamstring this week? Like, is that all mentality built from your youth all the way up on what it takes to win? Because there's some guys who wouldn't be able to play through what you're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, to me, it's, you know, there is no doubt in my mind, even when it happened, there is no doubt in my mind that I was playing this game. You know, this is what you work for. This is what we play this game for, you know, to be able to hoist that trophy. But this is the first time, this season was the first time I ever missed a football game in my whole life from starting when I was 6 years old. You know, I played through a lot of injuries. I played through a broken elbow. I played through a Tommy John, torn UCL. Unfortunately, the soft tissue one is one, I guess I learned, that's one that you can't really mess with. But yeah, there's no doubt I'll be ready to go for this game. And, that definitely stems from, you know, are you hurt or are you injured? Mentality from my dad.
That is Davis Alexander, an emotional time. Last year, with the death of his father, as he was battling through that week was crazy watching him. He didn't practice. He's down in Arizona with his dad, flies up to Saskatchewan, plays a game, goes back home. His father passes, and here he is a year later. Oh man, I know he said. I know people are starting. People think he's brash, right? And he is.
He is. But
he's cocky. He's arrogant.
Yeah.
But some guys are, right?
Well. You reach a certain point in your profession, and certain guys rise above the rest. And a lot of times it's a wiring. It's a certain type of mentality, and he definitely has it, right? That East Final in Hamilton,
mm-hmm.
I mean, he spent 25% of the game taunting the audience. That's who he is, right? And you
do
know,
you like that?
I do, actually. I don't mind because it's sports.
Because I'm interested in the fans. Do you watch the CFL? Is Davis Alexander turning into a villain? I've never thought about that.
Jamie, we've talked about this before. People need that in their lives. They need the villain. You need the bad guy. It's just as important to have something to cheer for as it is to cheer for something against something. It is. It gets us out of bed in the morning. A lot of people are more so than others.
I'm somebody who I never put Davis Alexander in that villain boat.
Because you've met him. You've interviewed
him.
Yeah,
maybe that's right? Maybe because I did, you know, like last year I have this year in Grey Cup. I see his personality.
He's very just affable guy. Like you saw it.
He's having fun. That's what I see from David. I don't think it's villain stuff. It's more like he's just having a blast, and fans are giving it to him, and he's giving it back. But maybe he is. 1-877-332-8255. Is Davis Alexander taking on the Bo Levi Mitchell persona? Because Bo was that, like, when he first cut into the league.
Yeah.
He was all that arrogant, you know what, from Katy, Texas, right? But I'm kind of a fan of Davis Alexander. I did say the Riders should do everything they have to go out and get him, but then they chose to keep him and got rid of Cody Fajardo.